Well, our theme for these weeks has been, since Easter, has been how the gospel restores the image of God in us, and that allows us to live in open, trusting, loving relationship with Him and with each other. And Ephesians 2 really is one of the key passages that sums up not only that it happened, but how it actually happens. And I just love, as I've been continuing to meditate on Ephesians 2, especially that second part that Sandy led us through, so much powerful truth in how this, how Jesus is our peace with God and with each other. It sounds so simple and we say it so often, but so much in this passage. So we're going to walk through some of that together, and hopefully we can feel it a little more in our own lives of how that actually impacts our relationship with God and each other in very real ways. But I just want to, before we get into that, just say, last week, Carlin was here talking about his ministry in Virginia, and Ed was here talking about Immerse and the ministry with international students. And yeah, I was just reflecting on that this week as well, and just grateful, and just want to make sure that we don't miss those opportunities, because those are two ministries that we as a church family are investing in and a part of. And so when we get those kind of updates, it's not just something that's happening out there, but it's something that we are also a part of. And of course, we get to rejoice whenever we see God move, however the kingdom comes, and any place we see that happening. But especially with ministries that we are invested in, we get to rejoice even deeper because this is something that we're helping to be a part of. Even though it's a small way, we get to be a part of it. And we don't want to miss that joy and that reward of that. That's part of our investment. Not just doing a nice thing because that's what we should do, but actually saying, yeah, we get to see and be a part of God at work in this way. Not all of us have those gifts, but we can be a part of it. And that's such a beautiful thing in the kingdom. And a few months ago, we talked about this team, neighboring team, it's called, with Bridge of Hope. That's going to work with a single mom through the Bridge of Hope ministry, helping her get back on her feet. And that team has been waiting, but this coming week, they're going to have their launch meeting where they meet their person. Bridge of Hope, again, is making this connection, the organization. And there's a group of people that are going to be walking with this single mom as she gets back on her feet. So, of course, with this kind of ministry, there's some confidentiality. So we won't know all about the family or everything that's happening. Obviously, that's not appropriate to share those kind of personal details in the broader church, but we want you to know it is happening, and we want to just pray and bless this team as they get started. So Michelle's actually on a retreat this weekend, so she's not here, but Mary Ann and Mary Beth and Debbie, and who else is a part of that team? And Sandy and Sarah Beth. I think that's everybody. All right, so we just want to, if you're close to one of them, just stretch out your hand towards them, and we want to bless them as they begin this ministry this week, walking with someone in our community to help them to be a neighbor to them, as the team name says. So let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to partner with your spirit and with our brothers and sisters at Bridge of Hope to be your hands and feet in the community. And as they launch this week, God, we pray for those relationships. We pray for your love to be poured out on each one of these team members, on the staff of Bridge of Hope, on the family that they'll be working with. And we pray, Lord, as you pray, that your kingdom would come to each person who's involved, and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this would be a place where what is broken is healed, what is lost is found again, what is put down is raised up, both in the people they're working with, in the Bridge of Hope organization, and in the members of this team, God, that your life would just flow in greater and greater ways. So we bless them with that as they start this week, and give us wisdom as a church body to know how to continue to surround them and pray for them as they work. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's keep praying for them, and you can talk to the team members. They'll share what they can, and they won't share what they can't. And let's just be okay with that as we do this new journey for all of us together. All right. Well, thanks, Sandy, for leading us in that little memorization quiz of Ephesians 2. And I encourage you to keep working at that, even if wherever you're, however much you've done or not done. We will continue working together at that. All right. Yes, the wind. We had our nice cold day yesterday, and now we get our nice warm, windy day today. I'm just going to hold these, I think. So Ephesians 2. 2 weeks ago, we were talking. Oh yeah, thanks. We were talking about the barriers as we looked at the first part of this Ephesians 2 passage of how the barriers that are raised up. That's really distracting. The barriers that are raised up between people, and how the Jewish people did that through their laws and regulations, the nationality, and even in that. Those verses that we looked at today, it says that at that time, and it uses these three words, you were separated from Christ, you were excluded from citizenship in Israel, and you were strangers to the promises of the covenant. So those are all clear words of separation, right? Of distance, not of relationship and not of peace. You were put out. You were far away. All these words that show the distance between people. And then they talk even about a barrier and a wall of hostility that was between people. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about how those can rise up so easily in our hearts from anything that we connect to as part of our identity or value in the world. Anybody that comes against those things, whether it's a group we belong to, or a skill that we have, or anything about ourselves that becomes part of our identity, we automatically push away anybody who challenges that. Just like the Jewish people did with the Gentiles. When they didn't follow their laws, when they didn't do what the Jewish people wanted, they pushed them away, and they created this separation. And we all have that in us. The important thing is not whether we have it or not, but whether we're able to recognize those things in us that push people away or keep us separated from other people. If you listen to your thoughts just for a day, or if you're aware of the motivations of your heart, we quickly see that at times we're pushing people away from us, creating and even furthering separation because they're doing or saying or are things that make us feel less valuable or somehow threatened. It's so subtle, but hopefully as we continue to think about it, God can help us be aware of those things. That's the remnant of our life without Christ. But in Christ, we want to bring all of those thoughts and motivations to Him so they can be transformed and we can see anew. We can be a place where His Spirit can dwell with us. We can be for each other a place where we can bring our thoughts and motivations. It's safe enough to open those up, and together we can learn, where am I pushing people away? What in my thoughts and motivations is not allowing me to love well as Christ has loved me? And how is Jesus calling me to be transformed so that I can love well? That's the journey that we're on. That's the journey that Ephesians 2 takes us on. And that's the journey we're going to try to personalize a little bit this morning. So we're going to walk through some of these verses that Sandy led us in. If you have your Bibles, you can do your best to keep them open in the wind. We're going to walk through some of these verses. And I'm just going to ask some questions as we go about what does this look like in your life? And I encourage you to be thinking and just to be asking God, where in my life does this play out? And I know it's easier just to kind of listen as I'm up here blabbing away. But I was reminded this week because we started a new class at Immerse in our English class. And we have some great students, and I'm having so much fun being back teaching in person again. But I reminded them as we were talking about the class that it is my job to teach, but it is your job to learn. And the single most important factor in how much you will learn in this class is your motivation to learn. It's always the responsibility of the learner. As we go through these verses, or as we think about coming to church or anything that we do in our following Jesus, it's always good just to check our motivation. how much do I want to be transformed in this section? And how much do I believe and expect that Jesus is going to transform me? So I don't say that because I don't think you want to be transformed or because I don't think that you believe and expect, but with anything that we do routine, it's always good just to check that out in our hearts. How much do I really expect that Jesus is going to transform me today in this place together with these people? And so as we go through this, I just encourage you to engage and say, yes, God, what are you saying to me as we look at these verses? So we're going to start with Ephesians 2, 13. And Ephesians 2, 13 starts with, you who were once far away. And this mirrors the beginning of the chapter where it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. And it goes on and on to describe these reality of being separate, of being cut off from God, of being far from God. And then in verse 13, it comes back and says, you who were once far away. So I just want to start there together. Can you think about a time in your life or right now, something that makes you feel far from God? Maybe it's a piece of your life now or a relationship that's part of your life or a situation that's part of your life or something that's been in the past as part of your life. When you feel like, wow, there's this sense that I am far from God, it's difficult to connect. And again, that's not a, it's not a performance issue, whether it's good or bad, but it's a awareness issue. Maybe it's because you felt angry with God or confused about God or bored with God or distracted from God. All these things can so quickly come into our lives and create this sense of separation from God. So what is that for you this morning or in your life? We want to start there and just thank God because it says, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And that happens, as Jay was telling us, as we come to Jesus and give our lives to him. But it also happens continually in our lives as things separate us from God. And we can say this morning again, Lord, even in those places where we feel far from you, even in those places where things cause separation from you, even in those places, thank you that you have brought me near. So we have been brought near by the blood of Christ, and that is the foundation for everything else that we get to talk about in the rest of this passage. So verse 14 says, for he himself is our peace. So that's a good confession that we can have as we think about these things. Jesus, you are my peace. And that's such a powerful statement. I encourage you to sit with that reality. Jesus, you are my peace. You are my peace. It says, he himself is our peace who has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So, I thought it would be helpful if we could see this. I'm not sure how this is going to work, but I need two volunteers to help me hold the barrier. Anybody want to come up here and help me hold a barrier? It says, this verse says, you are my peace, for you have, Jesus has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So this is our barrier, our dividing wall of hostility. Yeah, you can kind of hold it up so they can't see you. And you can hardly see me even behind this barrier, which is good. That's how it should be. I want you to think, what is a barrier in your life right now in one of your relationships? This can be somebody who you know well, somebody who you kind of know, but not really, or even just, as we said before, even groups of people that you don't really know, but you just kind of see this whole group as separate from you and far from you and against you in some ways. So can you think about in your life right now, where is there a barrier, a dividing wall of hostility? Maybe it's because somebody ignored you or hurt you. Maybe because you just haven't seen them for a while. It doesn't have to be necessarily a bad thing. Or maybe because, again, it's a group or an identity that you have that they're on the other side of and distant from. Can you see any of these in your own life? The barrier, the dividing wall. Hostility is a pretty big word, so maybe you think, I don't have hostility to anybody. But we can think about that separateness in relationship. And again, it's not a performance thing. Well, it's good or bad to have one or not have one. These things happen to us in the world. And the important thing is that we're able to recognize where it's happening, whether it's in our interpersonal relationships or in a broader way. You can't see me? There you go. All right. So this is what happens when there's a barrier. There's separation involved. And often, when it's like this, we can't see anything except the barrier, right? I can't see the person. I just know there's this barrier. Again, whatever that is for you, it could be pain because of a relationship. It could be identity things or whatever barriers we use to separate people. When this barrier is up, I can't see. And there's no way I know how to get past this barrier. It seems so hopeless. And this was the reality of the Jews and Gentiles, as we said, right? There was this barrier that was hopeless. There was no way it could be torn down. Nobody knew how to get past this barrier. And then Jesus steps in. And it says that Jesus destroys the barrier. Yeah, you can take it down. All right, thanks, guys. You can keep that picture of a barrier in your mind. Thanks, Austin. So Jesus destroys the barrier. So I got this picture of Jesus just to remind us as another visual. It's actually the cross, not Jesus. But it says that through the cross, Jesus destroyed the barrier. How does that actually happen? I mean, the barriers are still there, right? The things that separate us from others in the world are still there. The labels are still there. Our roles are still there. Even the pain in some of our relationships are still there, even when we follow Jesus. But what Jesus does, it says he created one new humanity out of two. So Jesus rises above the barriers, and he calls us to rise with him. And he says that those things of your identity, again, whether it's the role you play, the job you have, your social class, your ethnic group, your whatever views and groups that we identify with, he says those things no longer define you. I'm inviting you to live from a different perspective. I'm inviting you above the barriers so you can see that actually I am above all those barriers. I am not in your group. I am not only for you. I am for every single group and every single person on the face of the earth. That's how Jesus destroys the barriers. He calls us above them. He calls us out of them so that our primary identity and understanding of the world now comes from Jesus. Now, is that possible? Has to be right because it's in the Bible. But those are really nice ideas, but they are really, really hard to actually live into in the midst of the relationships and the currents of our world. And so again, we have to ask as we read Ephesians 2, can this actually happen? Or is it just a nice idea on the pages? Well, I told you the story last week of Estonia and Tallinn, which Chad reminded me this week. Tallinn isn't a small town on the edge of the tracks. It's actually the capital of Estonia. So I told that story. That was the one detail I got wrong in that story. Everything else is true, though, in that story. And Marianne has the book if you want to, or Chad has the book now if you want to read it. This place where the Estonians were demoralized and hated and oppressed by the Romans and as the Russians. And as revival broke out among the Estonians, the Russians started coming and the Estonians accepted them with open arms. Why? Because they knew that Jesus had called them above the barriers of the world. They knew that even the hatred and the oppression of the Russians were not, Jesus had destroyed that barrier and Jesus was for the Russians too. And they were able to see God move because they said yes to him. And I was thinking, is there another story that could happen like that? And I thought of the story in Acts chapter 10 of Peter and Cornelius. There's so many similarities to this story that there was in the Estonian story. Peter, you remember, is a follower of Jesus. Jesus goes up to heaven. The Holy Spirit is poured out. And the apostles start seeing amazing things happen among the Jewish people as the church is getting birth. And then in chapter 10, God appears to Peter. You remember the story with Cornelius, right? God appears to Peter, shows him a vision, says, "Don't call anything unclean that I have called clean." And as soon as that vision is gone, men from Cornelius. Now, who is Cornelius? A Roman, but not only a Roman, also a centurion in the Roman army. And if you watch The Chosen, one of the things it brings out was life under Rome and what Peter experienced as a Jew living under Roman occupation was not far from what Estonians experienced living under Russian occupation. It was horrible. There was oppression. They beat people up, take people out whenever they want it. Oppressing, keeping people poor, keeping people oppressed. So Peter, as a Jew, a peasant Jew, not only has all the Jewish culture of their laws and regulations that kept them separate from Romans, but he also has present day pain that he and his family have felt from these Roman people. So then he shows up at Cornelius's house, and as only Peter can do, gives this welcome to Cornelius. So Peter shows up. This is a Roman soldier's house. Peter shows up, and this is what he says. No hello, thanks, nice to meet you. That's not what he says. Verse 28, he says, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile." Well, welcome to my house. But then he says this, "God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." Wow, what a powerful statement. God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. This is a hated Roman, not only a Roman, but a soldier in the Roman army. And even that barrier of hostility, Jesus says, "No, I destroyed that barrier too. And I want you to go, and I want you to be in the house of a Roman soldier." Now, we said this story is as much for Peter as it is for Cornelius, right? To understand Jesus and his gospel. So Peter comes, and he says, "So tell me, why have you called me?" And I think that's such an incredible question, because when we say, "Yes, Jesus, I want to live above the barriers of this world. I want to live above the walls of hostility that divide people," that takes us into a place where we don't know what to do. Peter has no idea what this means. It doesn't blow away. Peter has no idea what this means. He has no idea how to live in a world where Jews are friends with Roman soldiers. He has no idea how to do that. He has no model of it, and it's confusing for him to even think about what this means for him to live with. So he's like, "All right, well, this is what God said. I'm going to say yes to it, and we're going to figure it out together. Why have you called me? Let's see if we can understand what God is doing." And they begin a process of learning to live in this new humanity where Jews and Gentiles are one. Peter, along the way, gets very confused. I'm sure he was very disappointed through the way. Later, we see Paul had to go and say, "Hey, Peter, you're going back into legalism. Stop it," right? Because Peter doesn't know. He's trying to figure it out, and he doesn't do it perfectly. And if we say yes to living in this new humanity that Jesus is creating in himself, then we have to understand that sometimes it's going to be confusing. Sometimes we're not going to know what to do or what to say. Sometimes it's going to make us very uncomfortable trying to figure out what does it mean to be the people of God with the realities of our world, the history of our relationships and cultures and groups. How does that actually happen that we can be one new person? That is a long, long journey. And it takes a willingness of us to say, "Jesus, I don't know how to live like that. But you have told me that no person is clean, unclean, or impure. You have told me that every barrier and dividing wall that separates me from somebody else is no longer actually there. That I can live from a totally different perspective. And if we want to say yes to that, then Jesus can teach us how to actually live that way. But it's going to cost us. It cost Peter everything he understood about what it meant to live right and well before God. He had to lay down. He had to lay down. Remember when those animals came down on the sheet and God said, kill and eat. What did Peter say? I have never done that, right? God, that's not you. I have never done that. Everything he knew of what it meant to live right before God, he had to say, you know what? I actually don't understand all the ways of God. But Jesus, I want you to teach me what you're doing. And that's not an easy process to go through, as we said. To stay in that place of saying, Jesus, I don't understand, but I want you to teach me. What does it look like to live in this new humanity that you are creating in yourself? And if we're going to continue to walk this journey of what it means to live in healthy, loving, mutually submitted relationships with each other and with those around us, then we got to know that it's going to be a lot of times of not knowing exactly what to do or how it works. But saying, Jesus, this is your project, and we want to learn how to walk in it. And if we do that, just like with Peter, he will teach us. In all our imperfections and fumblings and bumblings and needing to say, I don't think that was right. I'm not sure how to do this. How do I relate to this person? What does this mean in this situation? I don't know. But if we say yes to Jesus, he will teach us how to be this new people that he's making. And these words in Ephesians 2 will not just be nice concepts on a page, but they will be our lived reality as the people of God here together and in every place that we go. Say amen to that? That's right. All right, let's pray together. So today again, we just say thank you, Jesus, for tearing down the barriers, the wall of hostility, for making a way for us to live above the things that separate us and destroy our relationships, God. Above the pain that would cause us to live in bitterness and fear and self-preservation, God. Above the lines that would keep us apart from each other, even among us here, Lord. And we say thank you, Lord, that you have called us beyond those barriers into one new humanity. And we say yes to that, God. We say we have no idea what that looks like in all the diverse situations of our lives, all the diverse relationships and interactions. But today, again, we just say, Lord, would you teach us? Would you teach us how to live in it? We want that to be our reality, Lord. And I thank you for that reminder that you are above every group and division and separation that is a part of our lives here in this world, Lord. You're bigger than it, and you can lead us beyond it. So lead us, God, we pray, to live beyond the barriers and the walls that separate us as people. And we trust you to lead us in that journey as we say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.